I have this like incredible privilege to be able to create what I want to create in the world without any concern of financial gain, because I've won the game of money. And so money doesn't drive my decisions anymore. That is freedom. And most people that have way more money than me never experience that.
Hey, this is Allison, and welcome to the Inspire Budget Podcast, where we talk all things budgeting, debt, and saving money. I'm excited to introduce our guest, Diana Merriam. She's not your typical finance guru, and she has an inspiring journey. Diana founded the Economy Conference, known for money parties, and hosts the popular Optimal Finance Daily podcast with 1 million monthly downloads. She discovered the FIRE movement in 2015, paid off $30,000 in debt in 11 months, and started saving 60% of her income and retired at the age of 33. Today, we're taking a deep dive into money mindset and abundance. You're going to walk away with 3 action steps to take to help have a better relationship and a more abundant mindset when it comes to money. So grab your favorite drink and let's chat with Diana. Welcome, Diana, to the Inspire Budget Podcast. I'm so happy you're here today.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yes. So can you share, I cannot wait to talk about this. I want you to share your personal journey or experiences that led you to become passionate about the idea and concept of money mindset and the relationship between money, clarity, and peace of mind.
Absolutely. So I spent my 20s completely financially illiterate. The only thing I knew about money was to make more of it. Seriously, like I knew nothing. And I found myself at 28 years old, 30 grand in debt. And the only reason why I even knew I was 30 grand in debt is because I decided to run a credit report on myself and like look at all my debt collectively. Like I knew I had some debt. I was paying on credit cards, so I had some awareness, but I didn't know the total amount of debt that I had. And I didn't realize like how paying the minimums on my credit card or like even just a little bit more than the minimums, like because again, I was financially illiterate, I didn't understand the concept of compound interest and how that works against you when you have credit card debt. You know, it works for you when you're investing your money, but like I was burying myself in debt and I had no idea that I was doing that. And I made a fairly good income. Right? I was living in New York City. I think at the time that all of this came together for me, I was making like 80 grand. But in New York City, that's not a lot. But I was I was a single woman with no children, right? And so it was manageable. And there was no reason for me to be 30 grand in debt. I was living outside my means. And I mean, trust me, I was having my 20s, right? I mean, I was spending about I ran the numbers at one point. I was spending like $2,000 a month going out partying. Okay. Having my 20s.
Yes.
Okay.
You were living it
up. I really was. And then I had this moment of like, oh, this is not a good trajectory to be on. And I just had this like, I got to fix this, right? Once I realized I was 30 grand in debt, I needed to fix this. But everything I read online had this tone of struggle to it. It was like the Dave Ramsey, like you got to eat rice and beans and be miserable to get out of debt and reach a financial goal. And like, granted, I was having a lot of fun, right? So like this whole idea, I knew I needed to do something about my money, but this whole idea of like making myself miserable for a financial goal didn't make a lot of sense to me. And so
like, it's already painful enough,
right?
But let's punish ourselves and make sure that our inner talk is also just so self-deprecating.
Yeah. It wasn't adding up for me, like pun intended. The math wasn't mathing on like how to approach this problem. And so then I stumbled upon the Mr. Money Mustache blog. And I like to describe finding that blog like a refreshing punch in the face because, I mean, granted, it wasn't like the struggle Dave Ramsey stuff, but it was still confronting, but in a very good way. And what I got out of reading literally every single article on that blog, I like ate it with a spoon, right? I felt very strongly that I was wasting my privilege. I'm an educated white woman in a first world country, and I was wasting this incredible good fortune that I had. And so what I liked about Mr. Money Mustache is that there was so much optimism. There was so much like, money is this incredible resource that you can use to build the life of your dreams why are you spending it on stuff?
Yeah.
And so then I made like a very hard left, right? I had this like complete 180. I got out of 30 grand of debt in 11 months. And then I started saving and investing 60% of my income. And then I retired at 33. Wow. Okay.
Oh my
gosh. So I went like really far the other direction. And now at 36, I'm unlearning all of that and spending a ton of money.
Okay. So you went from one pendulum, like partying, spending pretty much all of your extra money that you possibly can, maybe even going into debt to just spend, to just incredibly frugal, but with a more positive outlook on it. But just from one end of the spectrum to the other, and now you're in the middle? Is that where you are now? Where would you say you are?
I feel like now I threw out the pendulum, right? Like now I'm not even on the pendulum, because here's the thing. After you reach a certain level of financial stability and financial freedom, I guess you could call it, there's not a lot of utility in even thinking about money anymore. I mean, I think about money because I talk about money every day and I'm very interested in money mindset. I'm interested in helping other people. I'm interested in using my good fortune to help other people maybe not make the same mistakes that I did. But there's not a lot of utility anymore in me like looking at my numbers every day. I don't budget anymore. I do track my spending, but I like all of my financial goals have been met. And so what else is there to do in looking at my money every day, right? And so it's almost like I have a friend who says, when you win the game of money, stop playing it. I know most people who get to, let's say, like retire early, financial freedom, financial independence, all that kind of thing. It's like they move the goalpost and they say, well, one more year, or now I have this other goal. And it's like, no, I feel like I've graduated from, and I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but most of the stuff we talk about money is like high school and college content, right? And it's super important. It's financial literacy. It gets you out of debt. It gets you to financial freedom, right? But the skills and the mindset and the habits that get you to financial independence don't allow you to enjoy it. You have to unlearn all of that. You got to go to graduate school, right? So that's what I'm doing now. I'm in graduate school for personal finance, and that involves like fostering an abundance mindset, being generous, being appreciative and grateful for your good fortune and sharing it with other people. Like that's what I'm in the middle of now.
It's interesting because I find myself in these like Reddit threads, like the personal finance Reddit threads and the FIRE Reddit threads. And I'm not like striving for I'm striving for Coast FI. Mm-hmm. That's like my goal. But it's so interesting to see these people, once they hit their number, they feel like, what am I even working for? And they lose their identity, right? Because their identity has been in this. But I love that you're saying, okay, my identity is no longer in that, but my desire to learn has just shifted to a different aspect of it. It's not that once you reach your goal, whether that's retiring early or paying off debt, getting rid of your credit cards, whatever it is, it's not that now there's nothing left to do. It's just you're changing the way that you're learning about it and experiencing
it. Yeah, I think your relationship with money evolves over time as you reach certain milestones. I'm not even financially independent yet. I retired at Coast FI. I work 4 hours a week to meet my expenses.
Wow. I love it.
And
oh my gosh.
I think that most people, like I even just last night, I do these local meetups, like Choose FI local meetup groups, and we do case studies. And last night we had an incredible woman who presented her numbers, right? We present our income, our expenses, our investment strategy, our assumptions, our like, where are our blind spots on our path to FI, right? That's the goal of these case studies. And this woman is doing so well. And she gets up there and says, I'm just starting out. And we're like, girl, you're done. What do you mean you're just starting out? Wow. She's a multimillionaire. And like, she thinks she's just starting out. It's like perception is so much bigger than reality. And I am surrounded by millionaires who look up at their numbers on a screen and all they feel is fear. And I think it's madness. You know, we expect that if we make more money and if we reach financial goals, that all of a sudden we're going to feel differently. But the reality is that like money is an external thing in the world, right? Money mm-hmm. is like, it's a tool to, it's a practical tool in your life, right? But we put so right. much emotion around it and we expect our money to do a lot more emotional labor than it's capable of, right? Like your sense of wow. peace and contentment, that's an inside job. There is no amount of money that can really help you with that on a very deep level. I think the most it can do for you is removing the stress that comes when you don't have enough mm-hmm. money. It can do that, right? Yes. Money can solve money problems. Money cannot solve mm-hmm. emotional problems, but that's what we're asking it to do. And I feel like these case study meetups become like financial therapy because it's like,
wow.
I think people are asking the wrong questions. The question shouldn't be, do I have enough money to retire? That's objectively true, right? Like you can just run calculations and know that. The question is, are you going to be brave enough to pull the plug? Are you going to be brave enough to take a risk? Because mm-hmm. even if you don't have 25 times your annual expenses, most people who are interested in this topic have enough money to take a risk. And they're just choosing not to, right? They think if yeah. I reach this FI number, then all of a sudden I'm going to give myself permission to live differently. And that's just not how it works. I feel like I'm going off on like a lot of tangents here, but.
No, I love it. I love it. It's people are putting too much focus on the math and not enough focus on their emotions and almost preparing themselves and what does it mean for me, right? But it's so interesting how you said that case study of that woman who said, I'm just starting out, I'm just beginning. And those expectations seem to be very skewed. So how do you feel like we get to that spot? I mean, you've been able to look at other people going through this and yourself. How is it that we get to the spot where we have these expectations about money and maybe what it means about us? What's getting us there and how can we mm-hmm. stop it?
I think where you start is the practical side of financial literacy, right? That's where you all, mm-hmm. we have to understand money management. We have to like, have a certain level of financial security and know the practical ways of getting out of debt, increasing the gap between our income and our expenses, figuring out the optimal level of spending so that we're not miserable. Like there's that kind of utility to money, right? But then mm-hmm. I think we also have to foster and build an abundance mindset. Because if you think about the pursuit of financial independence, it is rooted in scarcity, right? It is yes. rooted in questions of, do I have enough money? How do I get more money? How do I increase my savings rate? Mm-hmm. How do I hoard more money, right, for mm-hmm. the future, right? It is rooted in fear and scarcity. A lot of financial planning is also not a very optimistic thing. It's like you're analyzing worst yeah. case scenarios, right? However, actually retiring early, actually taking a step back from full-time work, taking a mini retirement, you know, working less hours, kind of taking your foot off the gas at a certain time in your life after you've determined you've reached certain financial goals, that is an act of optimism. So how do you make this huge leap from a pessimistic pursuit
yes.
to an optimistic action? And I think the way you do that is through fostering an abundance mindset. And an abundance mindset is built the same way that you increase any – it's mental wellness, right? How do you mm-hmm. increase physical wellness? You're really careful about what you ingest, right? You're really careful right. about what you eat, how you move your body. You pay attention. How do you figure out financial wellness? You pay attention. You look at inflows and outflows. So you do the same exact thing for mental wellness, right? You look at what you ingest. If you're reading a bunch of fear-mongering stuff about money, then that is what you are ingesting about money. Mm. If you are sitting on the couch watching TV, watching about all the horrible things in the world, you're going to be rooted in scarcity, right? Our culture has kind of conditioned you since you were born to be rooted in scarcity. It takes a lot of intention to push back against that. So what I recommend to people is to surround yourself with other people who have abundance mindsets, right? Mm-hmm. Finding the, I mean, we actually were talking about Jeremy Schneider right before this call started.
Yes.
who has been on the show. What episode was that again?
Go back to episode number 5. Jeremy came on to talk about investing. He was, oh my gosh, my third guest I ever had. So you know that he's good. He's a good friend of mine. He's really important. But sometimes he forgets he's been on my show, which I find very rude.
I mean, he just raved about being on your show, actually. Sorry, Jeremy.
But like, he forgot he was on my podcast, which is really sad. And he was upset that Diana was coming on and he hadn't been on.
He was very jealous.
Dude, you've been on my podcast. It was one of the like core memories of your life. How could you forget?
Well, he's a really good example because Jeremy is one of the people for me that has an abundance mindset who reminds me of it when I need it. So I'll give you a really good example. About a year after I retired, I was offered my dream job. It was like, the salary was like $150. I was reporting to the president of the company. I was running a department. I had unlimited time off, work remote. I mean, and it was a brand I really respected. Wow. It was my dream job, but I was retired. And so who did I call when I was making this decision? It was a really hard decision for me. I called Jeremy and he walked me through all the reasons why it would be dumb to take that job, because there's a huge opportunity cost to making money that you don't actually need, right? Mm. And so he was like, why would you do that and trade for, like, they will own you. And actually the president of the company was pretty clear that they were not going to be supportive of my conference or my podcast. Like she actually said to me, it seems like you're going to have to do some soul searching.
What?
Because she had an expectation that I would let that go in order to take my dream job. Mm. And you know what? It's like, why would I do that when I'm already living the lifestyle that I want to live in retirement? Right. But I needed someone like Jeremy to break that down, because if I would have called my mom or any of my friends that like aren't rooted in an abundance mindset, they would have been like, oh my God, take the job. Because that's a very...
Yeah, you've been waiting for this forever.
This is what you worked for your whole career.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you take it?
This is what you've always wanted.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I want more than that is full autonomy over my time and the ability to create what I want to create in the world and work for myself and be able to like call the shots, right? I mean, now I work 4 hours of paid work per week. So I host a podcast. It only takes me 4 hours a week. It's a daily show because the producers do all the work and I'm just basically a paid voice actor. And then I produce a conference that I don't make any money off of. But I have this like incredible privilege to be able to create what I want to create in the world without any concern of financial gain, because I've won the game of money. And so money doesn't drive my decisions anymore. That is freedom. Mm. And most people that have way more money than me never experience that. That is the difference between an abundance mindset and a scarcity mindset. And it doesn't matter how much money you have, right? That is an internal, that is internal work.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Today's episode is brought to you by my budget to build wealth. Here's the truth. I refuse to believe that wealth is just for the rich. I believe that wealth can be built on a budget without sacrificing what you love to spend money on. I fully believe that budgeting is the quickest, most effective way for you to reach your money goals. So whether your goal is to stop living paycheck to paycheck, pay off those student loans that have been hanging over your head, or find room in your budget every single month so that way you can start investing for your future, you're going to need a guide, a plan to get yourself there, which is exactly what I'm sharing in my free training, Budget to Build Wealth. In this training, I'm going to be sharing 3 massive mistakes that people make with their budget and their financial plan, so that way you can avoid them. I'm going to be sharing with you the secret to freeing up more money in your budget each month, so that way you can send extra money to your goals. And I'm going to be sharing with you my tried and true 4-step framework to budgeting your way to wealth without giving up what you love. Plus, there is a very special free gift for anyone who stays until the end. You can sign up by going to inspiredbudget.com/class or just click the link in my show notes. You'll be able to choose a time that works for your schedule, and I'll see you there. I want the people that are listening right now, because I know that this is such a big conversation and it can sometimes be hard to wrap your mind around, like, okay, I want what Diana has. I want to feel that way, but it feels so abstract, mm-hmm. right? So I want to give people some action steps. For instance, one of your action steps that you just mentioned was surround yourself with people who have an abundant mindset. So I think anyone listening right now, just after this episode, open up the Notes app on your phone and maybe just choose three people. And it doesn't have to be even people you know. Mm-hmm. It could be websites, blogs, people online that you know have this abundance mindset when it comes to money. Write them down and say, I want to surround myself with people like that. Can you give two more like yep. action items that people can take away from this to say, I might not have that abundant mindset by the end of the day or the end of the week, but maybe by the end of the year, I will be even closer to yes. it. What else can our listeners do?
Yes. So two more things. Read abundance-based books, right? Because again, it's about what you ingest with your mind every day. Mm-hmm. And so you have been conditioned for many years to have a scarcity mindset. In order for you to reverse that, it's almost like you've been brainwashed, right? You got to brainwash mm-hmm. yourself with another mindset that you want. And you do that by reading books and reading them every single day, 10 pages a day, right? So I'll give mm-hmm. you a few of my favorite abundance-based books. The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday okay. is that's a book based on in Stoicism, but okay. that book is really like shows you can do hard things, and actually the power of your mind is what creates your life and your experience of life. The Pathless Path by Paul Millard is really about unconventional living, right? Because we have this belief that we've got to like work 9 to 5 till we're 65. We got to go to school, then we got to get the good job. The way our lives are structured is very much dictated to us by society. And when you say, I'm going to do it differently and I'm going to live an unconventional life and I'm not going to subscribe to this structure that's been imposed upon me, it's a very uncomfortable mm-hmm. thing to kind of like, yeah. because now all of a sudden your life is so, people who retire early, you create a lot of space in your life and it's just enough space to completely fall apart. It really is. Like I actually, again, Jeremy, the first conversation I had with him, we talked about how the gift of early retirement is an existential crisis. Because none of us have learned how to live with full autonomy. We don't know how to do it. We've right. never done it before, right? So the Pathless mm-hmm. Path to me is almost like a roadmap on how to navigate that kind of uncertainty.
Okay, I love it.
This other book called Do Nothing by Celeste Headlee. This is going to address your addiction to work and productivity. Most of us Ooh. Put our entire sense of self-worth, like I had said to you before, that we confuse our self-worth with our net worth. We also mm-hmm. confuse our self-worth with our to-do list, right? I know that I put my entire sense of self into checking things off a list. And if I didn't do everything that I said I was going to do that day, I was a loser, right? We have yeah. our society conditions us to have an addiction to work and productivity because it really benefits this whole like capitalism thing we have going on, right? Mm-hmm. And so Do Nothing helps to unravel that in your mind.
Wow, I need that yeah. book. I can tell you right now I need that book.
Anyone that is like on the brink of retirement, whether you do it early or at traditional retirement age, that book mm-hmm. is so helpful in especially like addressing those identity concerns that you had mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Really, really good book. So I would say that those three books are like required reading. And then the next three books are like if you really want to take it up a notch.
Okay.
So, and these books are very much about like, some people would say they're kind of woo-woo, but honestly, like I just think most things in life have a reasonable explanation. And if the words that people use aren't helping you, then pick different words. One is called The Universe Has Your Back by Gabby Bernstein. Okay. And this is really about kind of like trusting reality and like mm-hmm. trusting that you're okay, right? It's kind of like being rooted in your authenticity so much so that like you're unshakable. And so The Universe Has Your Back by Gabby Bernstein is one. It's okay. It's Not Your Money by Tasha Silver.
Ooh, that's a good title. Yes,
and that's actually about divine abundance. And that is really like one of the things, I'll tell you just a quick story. When I was reading this book on a plane, and I'm not a religious person at all. I'm a kind of more like spiritual woo-woo kind of person. But She uses the word God in this book, which is a hard word for me. But one of the things she said is it's not your money, it's God's money. And so if you're just a steward of this money, you end up treating it differently and having a different relationship with it. Because first of all, God's not going to run out of money. He's got pretty deep pockets, right? And so I'm on a plane and I'm reading this, and in front of me, this couple was trying to buy drinks and their credit card wasn't working. And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, it's not money. It's not my money. It's God's money. And I think he'd pay for their drinks. So I start whipping out my credit card, and the guy next to me also starts whipping out his credit card. And we were about to fight each other to go pay for these people's drinks.
Oh.
And then that their card went through and it was fine. Neither one of us needed to do it. But to me, it was just a lesson. And like, that is how, when you have that perspective around money, it enables you to be incredibly generous because you're not worried about yourself.
Oh, yes.
And then finally, the last book, another like woo-woo book, but I find this to be incredibly important, Sacred Rest by Sandra Dalton Smith. Okay. And the reason why this book is so important is because when you are living abundantly, it requires creativity. And creativity cannot exist in a body and a mind that's overly stressed. We don't know how to rest. Even when you have time, it doesn't mean you have energy. I have an abundance of time, right? But I'm a busybody. Even if I am physically not doing anything, if I'm not working, it doesn't mean that I'm resting, right? Those are two very different things. And that book, Sacred Rest, really helped me figure out like the different levels and types of rest. Like most of us, when we think of rest, we think about getting sleep. That is a type of physical rest. But we need emotional rest. We need social rest. We need mental rest. We need spiritual rest. There's like 7 different kinds. And it's not what you would think, right? Like when I got to the social rest part, I'm an extreme extrovert, as you could probably tell. And I thought she was going to tell me, you need to spend more time alone and like embrace solitude. And no, what she said is you need to surround yourself with people who give you energy, right? Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. And that's kind of goes back to what I said before, surround yourself with abundant people, because abundant people give you energy. People rooted in scarcity drain your energy because they're so desperate for more. You know what I mean? They're like energy vampires. Yeah, that book I think is incredible in that it doesn't talk about abundance directly, but like an abundance of energy and feeling rested is still a type of abundance, right? So those are 6 books that I highly, highly, highly recommend. Okay, so that was just number 2. Now we're on to number 3. I would say if I have any financial habits anymore, it would be every single day before I go to bed, I write 3 things I appreciate about myself and 3 things I'm grateful for in my life. Appreciation and gratitude is how you stay rooted in the abundance that you already have, right? Mm-hmm. If you could be so wildly grateful for the good fortune you already have, it curbs your desire for more, right?
It's contentment, right? It helps you live in contentment.
Yeah. To me, it is probably the most important financial practice, because so many people are like, oh, just spend less. But if you spend less and you still have desire to spend, like if I wanted a Tesla and I just was like depriving myself of a Tesla, that to me isn't a good enough solution. That to me is the whole like deprivation, Dave Ramsey, just eat rice and beans and be miserable, right? The solution is not to deprive yourself and not buy what you actually want. The solution is to change what you want and to want what you already have.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a very deep mindset shift that allows your enjoyment of life and your action and the way that you spend flows so much differently when it's rooted in gratitude.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. Those are some amazing action steps to help people just live more abundantly and create a healthy relationship with money based on abundance and not scarcity. And I know that's something I even need to work on. It's changed over time, but definitely my money journey started out of scarcity. I feel like a lot of people that's how it starts.
Yeah.
And we get to that moment of, oh crap, what am I gonna do? I don't have enough. And so then it all turns and it's focusing on getting enough or eliminating what's taking away, right? Debt, credit cards, all of that. But I think that you can still focus on paying off debt and living a life you love while having that abundant mindset. It just takes, like you said, a lot of intentional work because we live in a society that is all rooted in that scarcity. So, oh my gosh. And then I love those three action steps. Surround yourself with abundant people, starting with Jeremy, Jeremy Schneider. Love him. Surround yourself with abundant people. Consume abundance through reading books. And then what was the third one again?
Express appreciation and gratitude.
Yes. Take that step of just writing down three things you appreciate about yourself and three points of gratitude every single night. Oh my gosh. This was amazing, Diana. Thank you. Tell our listeners where they can find you and learn more about you and listen to your podcast.
Absolutely. So if you want to hear more of my ramblings about money, you can actually listen to me every single day on the Optimal Finance Daily podcast. And so this show is a narration style show. We get about 200 contributing authors, and I read you blog articles. So I like to say that these bloggers wrote these amazing songs and I'm just performing the covers, right? So I'm reading you blog articles, and then I offer you probably about 300 words of commentary at the end of each article every single day in 10 minutes or less. So that's a great way to just get a little tiny bite of some personal finance knowledge. And then you can also check me out on my website, economyconference.com. So I produce this event called the Economy Conference. It is specifically designed for people pursuing financial independence. The Economy Conference, which is actually happening next week, March 15th through 17th in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's basically a party about money for people pursuing FI. And we have main stage speakers, we have breakout sessions, we have deep dive workshops. It's really about community and inspiration. Mm-hmm. Because what I find in the FIRE movement is that they don't have a money problem. They have an imagination problem, right? And so we gather in person to find those other abundant people. And we just party all weekend and it's so much fun. And so if you guys can't make it next week, totally understandable. I think we are almost sold out. So by the time this airs, like, we're probably going to be sold out. But sign up for my mailing list at economyconference.com. And if you do it through this pop-up window, you're going to be able to read my exit letter from when I quit my job. So I quit my job. It's actually like a few days ago, it was my 3-year anniversary of retiring. And I retired from my corporate career when I found myself in a toxic environment. I got a new boss. I was with the company for like 9 years. I don't have time to tell this whole story, but basically I found myself in a discriminatory environment. And so I decided that I had too much money to tolerate bullshit. And so I quit. And on my way out, I wrote this damn exit letter. It is juicy as hell. And so if you are interested in reading my exit letter, go to my website, look for the pop-up window, and sign up for my mailing list. You'll read the letter, but then you'll also stay in the know for like future conferences, since you're probably going to miss this one. And then subscribe to my YouTube channel, because all the videos, like Jeremy Schneider's video when he spoke on my stage, is up on my YouTube channel right now. So you can go watch that. All of the main stage speeches are up on YouTube. So if you find yourself not in a financial position to be able to come in person, that's totally fine. Go on YouTube and watch the speeches there. So yeah, kind of long-winded answer for you, but that's how you can find me.
I love it. Oh my goodness. And so I'm glad you were able to join us today on the podcast. I'm glad that Jeremy Schneider was able to make a guest appearance through us talking about him. And I really appreciate it. I'll link to all of that in the show notes below. And thank you, Diana, for joining us. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, it would mean the world to me for you to leave a rating or review wherever you're listening to this podcast. That helps the Inspire Budget podcast reach more listeners just like you. I'll be back next week with another brand new episode. See you then.